time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. I cannot say thank you enough for spending some of your time with me today. Today is just weird. Like, Thursday night football is tomorrow. You have the 49ers Rams who have played each other more than, you know, the 49ers have played the Rams more than any other team in the NFL. It's one of the oldest rivalries in NFL history. They started playing at 1950. They've been in the same division since. They played each other 150 plus times. Like, these two teams hate each other. And it's funny because they have the same record, right? They're 3-1, but they're in the complete opposite sides of the injury scale. You have the most injured team in football with the 49ers. You have the least injured football team in the Rams, but doesn't matter what the spread is, not good. Rivalry games are weird. Division games are unpredictable. Thursday night games are just batshit crazy most of the time. Any given Thursday. So today's episode, we have to do, usually we do this Friday. We got to bump it up all the way. This is our scouting report preview. Don't have a lot of bets for you because literally all of the players are injured. We don't know who's playing, but we are going to post a lot of bets right before the game. So whenever the who's active and who's not, we'll be able to get those out. But just know we post our bets every week. We've made money every single week plus the draft. So like we're doing great right now. It's not going to be a heavy bet week. I'm not going to bet the 49ers against the spread. I'm not going to include the 49ers in the team. I might, if you get half a point more on the 49ers being underdogs, then I might include them in a teaser. But anyway, so for the bets this week, just stay tuned. Those will be posted on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon right about an hour and a half probably before game time. So for the, like, we're going to go down to the wire there. Now, I do have to say thank you to Josh. He helps us with this entire series every week. And again, I apologize yesterday, but I would like to apologize again. I couldn't do the show last week. He wrote it. He did all the research. He crushed it. I was just too sick. I tried three times to record it non-live, and I just couldn't do it. But sometimes you got to take a break. But I do want to just say thank you to Josh, everything that he does for this show and this team. He is the absolute best. You'll see him in here, 40 Hours Faithful. He's always in the chat. But thank you to everybody that showed up. So we got a long show. So buckle up. If you got your questions, tag me in the chat. We'll try to get to those at some point. Shout out to 49ers Throwback. Always just spreading the positivity. He says, good afternoon, Faithful. Please hit that like and bell button. That helps us out tremendously. Cost you nothing. Helps us big time. What's up, Corey Patterson? Appreciate you guys. Alejandro, all the hashtag CCs. Making me happy. What's up, RTPFTW? My man. This is awesome. This is the support that we love to see. Means the world for me. Really, really does. Bobo, appreciate the positivity. He says, hashtag CC, I hate it, JC, but I believe we'll lose. You believe that every week, my friend, but I love you all the same. Yeah, it's hard. Like, you're the third largest spread this entire week's slate. And, like, how much do you put on the team? If the 49ers were healthy and the Rams were in the opposite, would that change things? I don't know. I don't know. The Rams are playing as good as anybody in the NFL right now. That's just what it is. Shane, this is going to be a brutal game, but it's not going to be the end of the world. Just remember, we are the most injured team, and you're not supposed to win when you're down this many players. Doesn't mean you concede the game. You're still going to go out there and hit somebody in the mouth, right? What's the old Mike Tyson? Like, hey, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Like, that's got to be the mentality. Like, you're backed up against the wall. You have nothing to lose. Like, this game started off as 2 points. The 49ers were down 2 points. It's now down to 7. If it gets down to 7.5, we're including a teaser. We will. But you got to go out there and play. And the hate has to fuel you. You hate the Rams. You're up on the Rams all time. 49ers are up 78. They have 78 wins. Rams have 71, three ties. And if you just look at the modern history, Rams are on a three-game win streak against you. They swept you last year. Shouldn't have. Should have beat them that one time, but Nick Sorensen's defense is dog trash. We don't have that problem anymore. Now, since Shanahan McVay got these jobs, Shanahan's up 10-6. So that's huge. You don't want him to start creeping back up. I mean, it was 10-3, and then they got this three-game win streak. You got to put that to an end. Now, it's funny because I hate the Rams. They're my number three most hated franchise. Three. I got to do the Dirk three. Sorry. I'm a Mavericks fan. I hate the Rams, but I don't hate the Rams like I hate the Cowboys. That's my number one. Or the Seahawks. And a lot of that is just a product of my history, right? So, like, I became a fan in 1990. That's whenever I became a fan for that Christmas. And then you look at just the history of kind of what happened that 1990, the 49ers went on a 17-game straight win streak against the Rams from 1990 to 1998. I never remember the Rams being good. Those were my formative years. That's whenever I was like in middle school and high school and wearing my starter jacket every day and all. Like, I never saw the Rams as a threat. Now, I know whenever I talk to the old hats, the old 49ers faithful followers, which are my favorite people in the world to talk to, by the way. Like, I just shut up and ask questions. But whenever I listen to them, Rams, a lot of times they're the number one or number two team that they hate. For me, it's three. I put the Chiefs four, Eagles five, but those are more modern, whatever else. Like Cowboys, Seahawks, Rams. Those are the big three for me. I know it's different for every fan, but like, man, we've used to stomp the crap out of this team. 17 straight victories against a division opponent. That's crazy. That is crazy. So I hate the Rams. Don't get me wrong. And I do love the McVay Shanahan because I think they're two of the best coaches in the NFL. I really, really do. And I think, like, this is the hypothetical that I always use whenever people do the fire Shanahan, and I'm just like, calm down. If every single head coach lost his job, right? You used to do this in Madden back in the day where you do like a franchise. Like, you start, you have the 49ers team. You always choose the 49ers, or you do a creative team. But, like, you wipe the slate clean with the roster, with the coaches. You're starting from nothing. You can hire anybody in the world. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan would be two of the first three coaches hired, if not the first two. I think Kevin O'Connell's creeping up into that a little bit. But, like, you're not picking Andy Reid. He's too old, plus all the off-the-field stuff. And plus, he never won a Super Bowl unless he had the best quarterback in the NFL. But Andy Reid's definitely a top-five coach. But if you're starting from scratch, Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are the first two guys that you call, period. That's all there is to it. And, like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, I love best on best. It sucks that the 49ers are so hobbled. We'll go through the injury report. Not a lot of concreteness to it because Shanahan's keeping everything fluid. You know, is Ricky playing? Is he not? Is Juwan playing? Is he not? Is Brock playing? Is he not? Like, is Renardo playing? Is he not? Like, how many starters do you have to go through and be like, is this guy playing? Well, you look at the Rams and it's just like, they have two players on IR. One of them's wouldn't even made their 53-man roster. And they have two players that haven't practiced yesterday. That's it. Like, literally the most healthy team in the NFL. Literally, not figuratively, not even hyperbole, the most healthy team, the least healthy team. Yeah, that's where it is. Niner Faithful says, play the healthier QB. We can win with Mac as well. You can. If Brock is healthy, he plays. If Brock can go, he plays. I don't know what the answer to that is. And so, yeah, that's kind of the issue there. oh, man. Just get the ball to CMC and unleash Brian Robinson. I wish they would, too. I think a physical running attack works against this team, the Rams. I really, look at this. My guy, Corey Robbins. You freaking stud. Thank you for the super sticker. He didn't even put anything on there. Corey Robbins, that is beyond kind and beyond grateful. Thank you, my friend, just for all the support, man. You, one of the main reasons why I get to do this full time, and very, very thankful to everybody here. I know not everybody gets to be as gracious, your job and all those things, but it means the world to me. Thank you, brother. Thank you so very, very much. Appreciate you, Steven. Ben, he says, if all you saw was our injuries so far this year, would you think we'd be 3-1? God, no. Hell no. And again, but you rely back on those three things. Sorry, I got to do the Dirk three. you have a better coaching staff. I would take the 49ers coaching staff over the Rams. I would, straight up. I would. If you want to give the McVay tilt, that's fine. I'm taking Robert Saleh. And we'll go through their entire coaching tree and what they are. There's so many parallels, right? McVay is part of the Shanahan coaching tree. He is part of that. He came up underneath Shanahan. He learned from Shanahan. The one thing that I would say is McVay adapts better to the talent he has as an offensive play caller. I'm fine saying McVay is a better head coach. I'm fine saying McVay is a better motivator. I'm not fine saying that McVay is a better play caller. He is more adaptive, that's for sure. But, like, it's funny because you look at, you know, the 49ers with what they have, with all these injuries. You're missing everybody. Yeah, the 49ers have the fifth-ranked, you know, offense as far as, like, total yards and whatever else. Meanwhile, the Rams, you know, they've got everything. They have the fourth. But they're not missing any starters. They're not missing one starter, not one offensive starter. They have all 11. 49ers, how many are they missing? You're missing literally five wide receivers, missing the best tight end in the game. Like, and they're right there. They're neck and neck. The Rams have 1,553 yards total offense, and the 49ers have 1,472. So just a little bit under. Shanahan's doing more with less. No doubt about that. Now, not scoring near as many points, right? But, you know, you look at, and I love this, Ben, like, the 49ers being 3-1 right now, you take that. Now, if you fall to 3-2, that hurts. Fall to 3-3. Now you're in trouble and you're kind of digging yourself back into a hole that you got out of. But this schedule sucks. So back to those three things. Better coaches. Blue chip players, which you're losing, dropping like flies. And then the schedule. Well, this is the most difficult run of the schedule. Jacksonville, Rams, Bucks. You get one win out of those, I'll take it. If you told me, John, guarantee the 49ers get a win against the Rams or a win against the Bucks, but you guarantee can't get two, will you take it? I'll go 1-1, 1-2 down this stretch, and I'd be fine. The 49ers get out of this mess 4-2, that's a huge win. Now, obviously, this is the most important game on the schedule. This is the most important game on the schedule, period, for the rest of the year. Oh, man. It's huge. It's huge. Monkey, what's up, man? He says, given all we have working against us, rest our questionable guys, or most we can afford to rest for sure. Sure, divisional, but have to think long-term. 2-1 wouldn't be terrible given the negatives. Dude, you got to play. You don't rest players on divisional games. You can't do that. This is the most important game of the year. You can play, you play. I do not care. Brock, your toe hurts? Don't give a damn. Can you play? Yeah, I can play, coach. You're playing. If you're good, then you're going. Somebody got that. Shout out to Shorzy. But, like, I don't know. But that's the coach in me. And somebody even asked the question to Shanahan, like, oh, well, is pain tolerance an issue? Pain tolerance never has gone into a decision by a coach or a player in the history of football unless they're just a coward. You don't not play football because you're hurt. You're injured. Or you're hurt. Those are the two different things. And I would say this to my players all the time. There's a huge difference between hurt and injured. Hurt, you get your ass out there and you play for your brothers. You're in a foxhole, right? Like that is, you use those metaphors. Hurt, tough it up. Injured, coach, I cannot do it. That's injured. If you can't plant off your front foot and you can't step into your throws, Brock, consistently, then you don't go. I don't care if it's a level 10 out of 10 pain scale. Get your ass out there. If you can't step into your throws, if you can't scramble just a little bit, cool, you go with Matt. Hurt and injured, two different things. Pain tolerance, like, yeah, it's not there. Anyway. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Shout out to Ben. He says, you know, I fan through the Rams rivalry, but they still don't rival my Seahawks or Cowboys hatred. Yeah, that's where I'm at there. RTPFW. Rams had some squads the 80s and 90s and greatest show on turf. We used to stomp them before realignment and the St. Louis moves. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to have a rivalry. They don't have a fan base. Non-existent. Look at there, you know, when they won the Super Bowl and like no fans show up. You ever been to SoFi? 49ers have the majority every single time. They have to pipe in noise. I lived in Los Angeles for 6 years. Never met a Rams fan in the wild ever. They don't exist. You see USC hats, you see Dodgers hats. That's it. There are no Rams hats. There's no such thing. Ugly ass colors. And they had one of the coolest old uniforms ever, and they turned it in for basically like a freaking great value Tide looking bottle. Like, just dog shit, man. I'm sorry. I have no respect. No respect whatsoever for the Rams organization. None. None. Crapped over so many cities, and just literally their owners fraud against cities, and like, it's just terrible. I hate them. Absolutely hate them. But it's not like a hate out of respect, right? Like, that exists. Like, I respect certain franchises. I don't respect the Cowboys. I don't respect the Rams. Seahawks, a little bit more of those than those two, but like, I don't know. I don't respect them at all. At all. Like, just no. What's up, Phil? How we doing, man? Brock ruled out for tomorrow. Did that just come across? Let me see here. I'm refreshing over here. And, you know, I know that they're going to go late. Let's see here. Yeah, here we go. We've got news. The 49ers have ruled out Brock Purdy for the Rams. So there we go. Brock Purdy, toe. Ricky Pearsall, knee. Juwan Jennings, ankle, ribs are all out. Fuck. I don't even say that word often. This is not good. Robert Beal, out. Juwan Jennings, out. Ricky Pearsall, out. Brock Purdy, out. Jordan Watkins, out. CJ West, questionable. Your starting wide receivers are going to be Kendrick Bourne, who had the worst game in the NFL, regardless of position, for all 32 teams last week. Couldn't run block, couldn't run the right routes, couldn't line up right. Whoo! Out, 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 out. Mack is starting. There we go. Brock Pearsall and Jennings are out. Man, Jennings has screwed himself this year. I hate to see it, man. That is just an absolute killer. This was the only opportunity he had to prove he was the guy. Out. Damn. Beal out. Jennings out. Pearsall out. Purdy out. Watkins out. CJ West questionable. Now, Mikael Williams, and D. Winters, full participants. Renardo Green, full participant. That's huge. And Itur Gross Matos, full participant. Mac Jones, full. Colton McKivitz, full. Damn. Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, like I like that we're getting a little closure on this now. I don't know why the 49ers did this the day before, but at least those guys are getting rest, and they're going to have a mini bye. And the injury is what it is. So, Mac Jones, Kendrick Bourne, DeMarcus Robinson, Jake Tonjes. By week four, just like we all thought. It's the return of the Mac, baby. Ah, man. Not good. I freaking hate it, man. DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah, you can play that dude in fantasy. There is no doubt about that. Kendrick Bourne, you could if you have to. Yikes. Not good, boys. Ladies and gents, not good. Got to rely on hatred, tackling fuel, and rivalry in a short week. Man. Gold-blooded, thanks for the super chat. Hard to believe Matt couldn't walk last week from reports, but now he's good to start. Think they rushed Brock back. Don't understand. Well, you couldn't play Adrian Martinez. Like, Mac Jones was more injured last week than Brock. You had to go with Brock. And you should have went with Brock, and you did. And he still almost won the game, even though he played horrible. Well, now Mac Jones is healthy, Brock isn't. So you got to roll with what you got. You got to roll with it. And, you know, I don't know what the injury status is. I don't know. All we hear is what they have. And I don't think I'm not. No, the money, Brock is not even close. Like, even if Mac Jones goes out there and throws for five touchdowns, 30 for 30, 500 yards and stomps them, the job's not in question. That's not going to be in question. Phil, appreciate the super chat. With Brock out, who is our backup quarterback? The backup quarterback is going to be Adrian Martinez. Thankfully, he's been with the team. Sorry, I just spit on the microphone. He's been with the team for a few weeks now, so that's huge. But golly, man, this is you were hoping you'd get one of those wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk out. Ricky Pearsall out. Juwan Jennings out. Jordan Watkins out. Like, that's four. Jacob Cowing out. Five. Jordan Watkins, six. You got six wide receivers out. Your top six wide receivers are out. Six. The worst thing in the NFL is injuries. But what's even worse than that is stacking injuries at a position. I talk about this all the time. If you're injured, that's one thing. But whenever you have multiple injuries at the same position, that's the hard part. And six wide receivers, the 49ers have more wide receivers out just that position, then three times all of the Rams injuries across their entire team combined. Does that make sense? So if you take every single Rams injury, multiply that times three, the 49ers have that many wide receivers out. Ugh. No, you weren't supposed to rest Brock, guys. That's, I don't understand that. Like, come on, man. You have to act like a coach or a player sometimes. Like, it's not Madden. It's not fantasy football. You couldn't play Mac Jones last week. You could not. He was more injured. You can't do that. Like, I don't understand why people, like, I understand hindsight. I totally do. And so, like, man, well, we lost. We might as well just should have done this anyway. Like, that's, you don't make decisions in those tunnels. We don't have DeLoreans. We don't have those to go back in time and change it. You don't get to do that. And even if you did have, like, you heard Brock, I felt really good. I felt confident. Brock made a lot of really good plays, made a lot of bad plays. But like, if I put the six best Brock Purdy plays up, you'd be like, oh, hell yeah, that's the Brock we remember. But you don't get to do that. Ah, man. That's rough. Here's the positive. Time for Robinson to step up. MVS, wide receiver two, Tunjus, third target, Juice and CMC. We got this. You can still win the game. And I wish that people were just involved in and had experience with what these decision-making processes with injuries are. If you can play, you play. It's very simple. And we try to like, oh, well, we should rest. Nobody rests in the NFL week four. What the, nobody does that. Nobody does that. I just don't think people understand. And that's okay. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I just wish people went through those decision-making processes. And I did it from a high school level, a college level, whatever else. It's different, but like at no point does anybody go, you know what, maybe we should just rest you. That has never been said, ever, and never will. Not with the game on the line. We're at home? Like, division game? Yeah, maybe we should rest. Like, that has never happened. It's never happened. You're injured or you're not injured. It's black and white. Like, go back. I don't know. There's not any more that I could say outside of the fact that, like, it is or it isn't. It is black and white whenever it comes to this stuff. And I wish people would understand that. That's okay. It's not my job to convince anybody. I'm just trying to put my takes out there. Some of you guys will enjoy them. Some of you guys will disagree. Disagreements are a great thing. Never back off of your convictions, okay? Especially because it's something my dumbass said. I'm just telling you, those conversations don't even happen. Maybe we should rest them. Has never been said inside a football facility in the history of mankind, unless it's week 17 and you've already clinched your playoff seating and it doesn't matter. That's the only time, not week 4. Never in the history of mankind in the NFL has anybody said, maybe we should rest them. No. You're either injured or you're not. There is no kind of, nope, injured, you're out, not, you're in. It's very easy. Robert, thanks for the super chat. Big fan of the Niners. With the banged up offense plus no pressures, is it too uphill a battle against the Rams? Short week, though. Anything's, dude, anything is possible. Any given Thursday. Like, worst things have happened. Worst victories, more, how do you say this? Teams that are more injured against bigger game odds, the bigger underdogs have won games. And the division and Thursday makes it a little bit more wild. I am not going to lie. Like, it might be a positive thing. And it's kind of hard to see that right now, if I'm going to be very frank with you. Might be a positive thing with the 49ers having the short week this week. Off of a loss. Dude, just get out there and just start freaking throwing damn punches. Like, dude, if you're playing, you're just going out there and freaking punching people in the damn face. Like, not literally, but you're just freaking fighting. Anything is possible. And you're backed into a corner now. You got your practice squad out there. Now, I'm not betting the 49ers. No. But, like, yeah, Giants just beat the Chargers. They were even bigger underdogs than that. Yeah, go get it, man. Go get it. So, let's talk about the Rams. I haven't even started my 5-page script that I got. The Rams are 3-1. Tied for first place with you in the NFC West. But you have the game up. You are up on them because you have 2 divisional wins. This is the first Rams game. They haven't played a division game yet. They have some studs. Jared Verse is looking like a future defensive player of the year, all pro type guy. Matthew Stafford might be having one of his best seasons of his career so far. Puka Nacua, I think, is in contention for the best wide receiver in the NFL. Whenever you look at what he can do blocking, he always used to just be the slot guy. Now he's playing outside and inside all over the place. He's doing everything. He can run the full route tree, contested catches. He's the only wide receiver in the NFL with more contested catch yards than Ricky Pearsall. Like, he can win in space. He's tough as hell. He can block. He can run the full route tree, contested catches, speed, you name it. He can do everything. Their wide receiver number 2 is Devontae Adams. Like, the biggest difference in this game is Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams versus Kendrick Bourne and DeMarcus Robinson. Maybe DeMarcus Robinson has just like this elite revenge game. Oh, man. David, do you think we could see 2 running back sets with Robinson and CMC? No, not on a short week. We haven't seen it yet. Eventually, we should. And this would be the week to do it. But on a short week, you don't want to install all the terminology and shift changes. You're not getting through all that, especially with a backup quarterback. Probably not going to see that this week. But I would like to eventually put CMC in the slot, allow Brian Robinson to run. But right now, Brian Robinson is only being used to spell Christian McCaffrey, and that's it. I think that's a giant mistake. I really, really do. Now, this is the first game against the 49ers since they have this. You know, last year they had Cooper Kupp and Puka, but now it's Devontae Adams, who's just a beast. Can't believe he's a number two, but he's the best number two in the NFL. It's not even close. He still looks great. You know, their defense is young and fast. Amazing pass rush ability. But they always used to suck against the run, but then they went and signed one of my favorite players in the NFL, Puna Ford, who is just a run stuffer. And, you know, that's been a killer. They still got Kobe Turner, who had his best games of the NFL last year against Dominique Pooney and against Jake Brindle. That's their best matchup. Like, Dominique Pooney last year was head and shoulders better than what he is this year. I don't think he's fully healthy. But again, if you're injured or whatever, you got to play. But Dominique Pooney hasn't been good. I think he's been our worst offensive lineman this year. Now he gets another tough matchup. Tough. It's going to be hard. The Thursday game, they're healthy. We're not, obviously. Their quick passing game's incredible. Matt Stafford gets the ball out the second fastest in the NFL, tied with Trevor Lawrence, you know, for how fast they get the ball out. And just to put things kind of into perspective there, I wrote down their times. I have it on here. Sorry, I got to scroll. So Mac Jones gets the ball out 2.75. Brock gets it out 2.9. Matthew Stafford gets it out 2.5. That dude is just seeing the field and throwing the ball. I mean, it's just grip it and rip it. It's hard to find a lot of quote-unquote positives. They've got a team, man. Now, some of their weaker players, Rob Havenstein, the right tackle, he's dealing with a lot of issues. Blood clots, ankle. He's one of the guys not practicing. He got a 43 grade last week. 49ers can't get any pressure on anybody. But, dude, maybe that's the spot. Maybe that's the spot. Emmanuel Forbes, the corner that they have starting. Akello Witherspoon is the one player on IR that was actually a player on their team. Wish he would have been playing because I want to go against him. But Emmanuel Forbes stepped in for him. He's one of the least physical corners in the NFL. Maybe you exploit that, right? Perimeter run, screen game. Niners don't run screen, sadly. I think you've run three screens the past 2 weeks, and all three went for touchdowns. Maybe you could do more of that. But Emmanuel Forbes, you'll see him out there. Number one, smallest defensive back in the NFL. Run right at him. Physicality. That could be huge. Omar Spites, their linebacker, number 48. That's who Shanahan's going to go after. Landman, their other linebacker, number 53. That's who they're going to go after. Those are the guys you go after. Now, if you look at the Rams' schedule, they beat the Texans in what was an ugly game, 14-9, but they won. They destroyed the Titans 33-19. Lost to Philly because they got two kicks blocked. They dominated that game for 3.5 quarters and just crapped the bed at the end. And then they beat Indianapolis, which was kind of a return fate. Adonai Mitchell dropping, you know, costing them two touchdowns. Indianapolis very easily could have won. They are kind of a complete team at this point, which we'll get to see them later in the year. But, man, it's a solid team. Now, next, we're going to be going over the PFF, which I hate, but their overall unit rankings to look at it from an analytical standpoint. We'll cover some scheme. We'll go through the coaching staff all right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, we are going to be out in Tampa Bay with the new updated times. Party on the beach. I cannot freaking wait for this. Clearwater Beach will be out there. We tried to do it last year. The hurricane came. We had to change plans. And the weather gets bad. We have a backup plan as well. But we'll be out at Coco's North Beach, and then we'll be tailgating right in front of the lot. Houston with Frank Gore, with Eye of the Niner, with Travis King. Wayne Breezy's going to be there. Tailgate's incredible. I am very excited about that one. Rented out a three-story parking garage right in front of the stadium. We're going to be partying on the roof, having a good old time. And then New York, we'll be out in Jersey at Hoboken. I think I said it right. I'm sure I still messed it up. But come party with us on the 1st of November. That party is picking up. Probably going to sell out. So if you're thinking about coming and partying with us in New York, please do not wait. We'll be over in Lot J at the MetLife Stadium. All inclusive premium tailgates. All of our tailgates. There are lots of options. And let me just say this, because I don't think I do a good job of this. There are cheaper options out there, guys. And so what I want and what I have envisioned is I've gone to tailgates and I've gotten one beer and I've gotten a cold hot dog and I've been very upset and I've paid like 40, 50 bucks, whatever. And they run out of stuff or there's a long line. I don't like that. I want premium beverages. I want good quality food. I'm traveling. So understand, our tailgate's not for everybody, but we have mixed drinks, premium, you call it drinks at all of our stuff. We're not serving Natty Light, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but like I'm just saying. So there's so many great events, and we're not the only Niners event at any of these places. Check out other ones. We want to provide a premium experience, and that is why we do charge. Again, a lot of these I will lose money on, or our goal is to break even, and whenever we do make money, we donate to charity. You know, we continue to do that, but this is not where I make money. I make money on the 49ersrush.com. I make money on our Patreon. I make money on our sponsorships. Tailgates is because I freaking love the faithful and I love partying. And if I could do anything with my time, I want to host an event and tailgate and have a good time. And so I hope you come join us. And if you guys haven't been a part of a group, that we've done before, man, come say what's up. All those are available at 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Now, PFF has been pissing me off lately because they keep gaslighting us into thinking the 49ers offensive line is good, but I'm a film guy. Film says hell no. Not no, but hell no. We have not had a good offensive line, but whatever. Eric, my social media guy, gets mad whenever I don't include this, so I'm including it because I love you, Eric. You are the best of the best. He's killing it on our Instagram. Here are the PFF overall unit rankings for the Rams. Offense, number one in the NFL. Defense, number two in the NFL. Special teams, 31st in the NFL. You put all those together, they are still first overall. Now, I know you heard the Rams, 31st in special teams. Maybe the 49ers could have a positive special teams game. Do not fool yourself. That is not allowed in this simulation that we are part of. The 49ers will never win a special teams battle, no matter who the special teams coach is. Not as long as Isaac Grindo and Jair Brown are still out there fooling around, doing absolutely nothing. It's not going to happen. So do not expect positive things. Eddie P, the rest is downhill. PFF is everyone's favorite when it fits. PFF does some good things. Like, I love their compilation of data. That's great. Whenever you're looking at time to throw, how many screens, where the targets are, blah, blah, blah. Grades on offensive, defensive line, not good. You know, it's funny, Spags, I watched a really cool interview yesterday where he was like, kind of chuckled and laughed at people using PFF grades. And he even said, like, we use PFF, but not for grades. Like, they don't know what everybody's job is. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Like, that's why I tell you to watch the film. Like, PFF will grade Jake Brindle as a positive. If he blocks his guy, gets blocked back 3 yards, tackle for loss, Christian McCaffrey, his guy made the tackle, they'll still give Jake Brindle a positive because he stayed in front of his guy. Like, that's just not football. That is not football. But their amount of data collection does provide positives. There are positive things there. Grades, I would disagree. As somebody who's watched every single play, offense, defense, special teams for 4.5 years of the 49ers, PFF is off on the offensive line. I don't give a damn what they say. Yeah, I'm tired of it too. Now, the 49ers, their rankings from PFF in those same units, offense is 7th, defense 11th, special teams 20th, overall 9th. That's where they fit. So you can kind of go with whatever you see there. We'll see there. Yeah, we have the 20th special teams. Again, you want to know how bad PFF is? They have us as the 20th special teams unit. take that for what. And PFF's good. I'm not crapping on PFF. And I don't like PFF. It's funny, before I started my podcast, I applied to them and I didn't get hired. And I was like, dude, no, trust me. Y'all want to hire me? Like, I'm a coach. I understand. Like, I could do this. And they're like, yeah, sorry, you do not fit our requirements. And I didn't get hired, which probably the best thing that ever happened to me, to be honest with you. Now let's talk about the coaching staff. Let's go through the history of Sean McVay and, you know, Chris Shula and kind of every Matt LaFleur, which we Mike LaFleur, sorry. Matt LaFleur, I think, is on Dodgeball, Vince Vaughn's character. Anyway, Sean McVay, 39 years old, went to Miami of Ohio. And what's funny is Chris Shula was on that team, too. You're talking about, you know, McVay, son of the great McVay, who's in, you know, the 49ers Hall of Fame and one of the architects of all five of our Super Bowls. And, you know, Chris Shula, Shula family, obviously, on the same team at Miami of Ohio. It's just crazy to me that you have these Nepo babies growing up together in these, you know, second tier schools. But Sean McVay was a baller. Like, a lot of people don't understand, he was a great football player, just small. He won Mr. Football at Georgia in high school over Calvin freaking Johnson. Like, that's how good he was. Played wide receiver in college. Was a quarterback in high school. He's already got the Super Bowl. He's the youngest coach in NFL history. Youngest coach to reach a Super Bowl. Youngest coach to win a Super Bowl. Beat the 49ers in the championship game. 2017 AP Coach of the Year. La, 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 la. 91-58 record is off the charts awesome. But you want to know, like, the biggest difference between Shanahan and McVay? Shanahan doesn't have, or McVay doesn't have down years. That's the difference. You look at winning seasons, he's up there with freaking Mike Tomlin. Not as high, obviously. Nobody is in the history of football. But, like, he doesn't have down years. Shanahan's had down years just last year, right? Like, McVay does not have the down years. He's 8-5 in the postseason. Kyle Shanahan's 8-4. Right there. Right there. Just doesn't have the Super Bowl. And that's kind of the difference. Now, as a coach, he took over for Shanahan. His first coaching job was in 2008, Tampa Bay. When Shanahan left, Shanahan started in Tampa Bay. Again, Nepo babies, starting on third base. Gotta love it. But they both worked their way up. And they're amazing coaches. Did they get an unfair start? 100%. But they have proven they belong. So Shanahan left Tampa Bay in 2008, and that offensive assistant became Sean McVay. So they weren't together yet. And then he went to the Florida Tuskers as a wide receiver coach. And in 2010, he joined Kyle Shanahan in Washington. Washington, they were the Redskins back then. Daddy Shanahan was the head coach. Kyle Shanahan was the OC, and that's whenever he hired, you know, he had LaFleur there. He had not solid Mike McDaniel there. He had Sean McVay there. Like, that was the Piss Boys is what they were called. If you had never listened to the Play Callers with Jordan Rodrigue, one of the coolest series ever done, audio platform. Absolutely. I listened to it twice that offseason. I should probably listen to it again, but they were known as the Piss Boys because they literally got pissed on. They had to make coffees. They had to make copies. They had to fix the copy machine. They had to do all this, whatever else. But that was all at Washington. Now, Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan get fired. Dan Snyder and that whole horrible whatever. They promoted the other Gruden, right? Who both Shanahan and McVay got their starts under at Tampa Bay, and the other Gruden. But whenever Shanahan's got fired from Washington, they promoted Sean McVay, became tight end coach, was there for 3 years. Then he became OC, was there for another 3 years. And then he became the head coach for the Los Angeles Raiders in 2017, the same year Kyle Shanahan became the head coach for the 49ers. Mike LaFleur, a lot of overlap. He went to Elmhurst University. He's only 38 years old. He's their OC, played quarterback in college. Brother's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And man, as a coach, he fought through Elmhurst, St. Joseph's, Davidson. Then he joined with Kyle Shanahan at Cleveland. He became an offensive assistant with Kyle in 2014. Then he hitched his wagons to Kyle, went with him to Atlanta for 2 years, went with him for the 49ers for 4 years. He was a pass game coordinator, wide receiver coach, then pass game corner. Then when Robert Saleh got the head coaching job at the Jets, Mike LaFleur went and was his OC, got fired after 2 seasons. Then he joined McVay, and he's been there since. So, like, There is a lot of Venn diagrams that look like a circle when you talk about the 49ers and Rams coaching staff, especially the offensive side. Now, the defensive side, Chris Shula, you know the name. Yeah, that Shula family. 39 years old. He's DC. He played at Miami of Ohio with McVay. He was a linebacker and just kind of worked his way through the Rams organization. Got his coaching start at Ball State, then Indiana, then John Carroll. He was with the San Diego Chargers for a while. Joined the Rams in 2017 with McVay, and he's been there since. He's been their linebacker coach, outside linebacker coach, pass game coordinator, DB coach. Now he's their DC starting last year. So, yeah, and shout out to Grandpa McVay. He was on all the – he was the, one of the only guys that was a part of all five Super Bowl wins for the 49ers. And, yeah, one of the best ever. Is it John Carroll, a former writer for the San Francisco Chronicle? Possibly. I am not a local, so I don't know how to answer that. I don't. But if you are going to bet this year, again, we're going to be posting those now that we have these out. I'll probably get them up early in the morning. We'll see if all of the prop bets post. But if you're betting this year, you know where you got to go. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, Super Contest, Survivor Pools, Casino, Blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. Look at this. The man himself, Ben, NY Niners. Thank you so much, man. $49 super chat. Crushing it, man. Thank you, brother. He says, this week might suck, but do not give up. We're the faithful. We don't give up. And like, dude, whatever, like I love reacting, right? And so I would like to think I'm relatively optimistic and calm, cool, and collected. Whenever I coach on the sidelines, I am not that. I am a freaking fireball. And whenever I tweet and respond to, you know, in-game stuff, whether I'm in the stands or watching TV, like my demeanor in the event of football games, like I learned a long time ago, like that's who I am. I am instant reaction, which is way more negative than I probably should be and way more positive than I should be. But like I want to be in the moment. Like I love football because I understand that this sport is quote unquote trivial. And these are grown men playing a ball, but I want to enjoy this. I want to be a fireball. I want to get pissed off. Like I want to live my emotions and get pumped up and all that stuff through this event. Like as you get older, there's less and less stuff that kind of gets your blood boiling. You know what I mean? And so like, man, I am with you, Ben, so much, but yeah, like at worst, you're going to be 3-2 with a 2-1 divisional record, which is still twice as many as you had last year. This is the hard part of the schedule. Jags, Rams, Bucks. Always. Even before the season started, this was the most difficult part of the schedule. These are the best quarterbacks you're going to face all year. Now, the 49ers have the easiest schedule in the NFL, even with, you know, Indianapolis doing well and whatever else. But, like, man, schedule's still awesome. This part's not. And you might be 3-3 after these next two games. You're not going to be favored in either of the next two games if your players are all injured. You're not going to be. But that doesn't mean the season's over. Like, 10-7 with the divisional record that I think the 49ers will have will get you into the playoffs. 11 guarantees it. You know, you had the Seahawks didn't get in with a 10-7 record last year, but look at their division conference record. Ours is not going to be that. We're already 3-0. So, like, we don't have any conference losses. We don't have any division losses yet. We'll have to see what happens. But no matter what happens, be pissed off and be upset. But the 49ers are kind of getting their mini bye at a time that they need it big time. Man, you might be getting George Kittle back. You will be getting Brock Purdy back. Ricky Pearsall probably going to be back. Like, you're getting back. Juwan Jennings probably going to be. Like, you're getting back so many different players. That's huge. Malik Mustafa's not too far out. They said week 6, right? Well, this is week 5. Dude, you get Malik Mustafa out there instead of Jason Pinnock. Ooh, his tape has been awful. The biggest plays all year, 25 has been involved. All freaking year. Yeah, never give up, man. Ever. I don't give a damn who it is. I don't care. Like, I just, dude, that's just the philosophy. Like, my brother used to beat the tar out of me all the time. He's 3 years older than me. I would never say it sorry. Like, I would never, like, no, he pinned me down to do that slobber thing and whatever else. Like, I ain't freaking saying stuff to get you off. Like, nah, do it. Right? Do it. Hell yeah, I don't care. Like, you don't freaking quit. You don't quit. And 49ers ain't going to quit either. They're not going to quit either. All right, let's go through the Rams scouting report on what they do well and what they don't do well. They do a lot of things well. Let's start with the Rams defense. Let's just go through their ranks. 32 teams, right? Points, 9th. Yards, 9th allowed. Top 10 in both. Turnovers, they're 4th. You're playing back-to-back top 5 teams in turnovers, and you have not protected the ball at all. The 49ers have given up 8 turnovers, which is 29th, bottom 3. The Rams have caused 7, which is 4th best. First downs, they're 11th. 49ers are 4th. The one thing that the 49ers offense has done very well, they have converted first downs, whether it's Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, doesn't matter. No running game. Dude, the Shanahan offense is still humming. You just got to protect the ball and score in the red zone. Those are the two big issues. But the Rams give up first downs. They're close to average there. 49ers should be able to move the ball, even with your top 6 wide receivers out. Passing touchdowns, 7th. Interceptions, 8th. Rush yards, 10th. That's hard. Rushing touchdowns allowed. They've only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns, which is 3rd best. 49ers dead last. 0 rushing touchdowns. Don't expect that to change unless it's a quarterback sneak, to be honest with you. This interior offensive line is not good at run blocking. Jake Brindle, Pooney, Connor Colby. Connor Colby's the best out of those, but and it's not only just them. The wide receivers aren't run blocking well. Jake Tonjes, who's a receiving backup undrafted free agent journeyman, is playing fullback for you or tight end to the strong side. Like, not good. Kendrick Bourne's the worst blocking wide receiver in the NFL so far this year. Not great. DeMarcus Robinson block. He'll block his ass off. That dude, he's been waiting to play. This is his old team. DeMarcus Robinson going to have a game now. DeMarcus Robinson going to have a game. Now, you look at their third downs. They're 7th best. 49ers are the 3rd best offense on third downs. You're converting. Red zone, the Rams defense 14th, and 49ers offense 27th. I'm not sure how many red zone trips you're going to get this week, but whenever you get in there, you got to cash it in. It's just what it is. Now, the strengths and whatever else, the Rams defensive line versus our O-line, that is not good. Even our best player, who is Trent Williams, who I love, that dude's going to be going against Jared Verse. That's an amazing matchup, and I'm not sure I'm giving, like, the way Jared Verse is playing, he was my number one defensive player that year in the draft, but whatever. Not going to get into that right now. That dude's playing like an all-pro slash, you know, defensive player there. The Rams safeties are elite. Very Cameron Curl's killing it. But their linebackers are not. You look at the Rams defense, you can take advantage of their linebackers and their corners. How do you do that with no wide receivers? I don't know. CMC, he's going to keep getting his. Jake Tonjes, I'm telling you, there are only 4 players that are going to be getting the ball for the 49ers. 4. Christian McCaffrey, DeMarcus Robinson, Jake Tonjes, and Kendrick Bourne. That's it. So, if you're looking for something, that's there. That is there. Kobe Turner and Puna Ford are going to eat in the middle. I really hate that. Ugh. They don't blitz a lot. Well, sometimes they do. Against the Indianapolis Colts, they only blitz 10 times against Daniel Jones. They play against Philly, they blitz 21 times. I don't think they're going to blitz us a lot. I think you'll see a lot of four-man pressure. Yeah, maybe they will just because they don't trust our wide receivers or tight ends. But you got to force. Here's the answer. You've got to force their cornerbacks to run support and come up and play physical because they're not physical corners. You've got to make those linebackers cover in space. That's the game plan. And you want to, like, when you're watching the game, I'm telling you right now, the two players that are going to be circled, number 48, number 53, that's who Shanahan's going to attack. Number 48, number 53, over the middle. That's where the run plays are going to go. I've been 4-for-4 on, like, it's always linebackers with Shanahan. And probably the biggest difference why Kyle Shanahan has had the upper hand on McVay in head-to-head matches is because Sean McVay does not value linebacker play. He will not invest in it. Kind of like Shanahan in the offensive line, just refuses to. It's kind of been the downfall. It really, really is. So can you get that fixed? Next up, let's talk 49ers offense. I'm sorry, Rams offense versus 49ers defense right after this. You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush Road Trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's just, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. Shout out to my man RTP. He says, yeah, you've been spot on about who Kyle Shanahan is attacking every week. And the good and bad. You went at Devin Lloyd last week, and he made you pay for it. And he was the AFC player of the week against you. But Omar Spates and, you know, Landman, they're not the freaking same. They are not. So number 53, Nate Landman, undrafted free agent out of Colorado. And Omar Spates, again, undrafted free agent out of LSU. Like, they don't value that position. They want these hyper-versatile, small cover and space guys, but neither one of them cover well. I'm telling you, 48 and 53, those are the guys that are going to have the game plan designed to go after them. All right, let's flip the script a little bit. Let's talk about the Rams' offense, what their ranks are among 32 teams. Points 13th, yards 4th. And that's probably the matchup, right? The 49ers are the 5th best defense when it comes to yards. The Rams offense is the 4th best offense when it comes to yards. Well, one of those has to give. And I know the wide receivers are banged up, and I know the 49ers don't have a pass rush, but this bend, no break, rally, tackle, make them check it down, how's that going to work against Puka and Devontae Adams? That's worth the price of admission right there. How is that going to work out? 13th in turnovers, 5th in first downs. Again, 49ers defense, 6th. Strength versus strength. Who's going to be able to sustain drives? Who's going to stay on the field? 49ers haven't done that. All 4 of the 49ers turnovers last week were on first down. Killing drives. 2 of them were first one-play turnover drives. Like, that kills your defense. Sustaining drives, keeping the defense out there. Can one of these teams buck that trend and shut down the opposing offense, give your defense a little bit of a break, and you can play fresh? We'll have to see what that looks like. Passing yards, they're 3rd. Passing touchdowns, they're 3rd. Matt Stafford's having a year. Pass yards per attempt, they're 4th. Rushing attempts, 14th. Now, the Rams run the ball well. You look at their rush yards per attempt, 4.5 yards, that's 12th. You know, 3 rushing touchdowns, that's right at average. But, like, the Rams will run the ball if you don't stop them. We've seen this. You have to force them to throw the ball. You have to. Like, I know that sounds antithetical to Matt Stafford, Puka, Devontae Adams. No. If the Rams can run the ball successfully, they will never throw the ball. You have to stop the run. Now, this is how Robert Saleh has designed this defense, and they've been great at it. In spurts. Jags had basically 3 giant runs all after turnovers because the defense was tired. You got to stay fresh. Got to stay fresh. Anyway, red zone, they're 21st on offense. Not good. Third downs, they're 13th. The reality is the Rams offense isn't seeing a lot of third downs. When they are, it's not going well. They're converting a lot of first and second downs. So now let's dive into Matt Stafford, okay? Dude's a beast. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he probably will just because of longevity. Like, he's moving up the all-time passing ranks, statistics. He's got the Super Bowl. But you put Stafford in a clean pocket, he might be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I'm just going to be honest. Obviously can't move very well, but he's an athlete. He has his deep passer rating this year is maybe the best of his entire career. He's got a 98.7 grade, 9 big-time throws, 20-plus yards air yards. Like, this is what I like about PFF. It's because they collect this data. Dude's been killer. 11 of 18, 384 yards on passes, traveling more than 20 air yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 144.7 NFL passer rating. Damn near perfect on deep balls. Damn near perfect. Now he throws the ball quick. We talked about that. Second fastest ball out of his hands. Play action passes, 4th most in the NFL. That's the McVay Shanahan carryover. 4 touchdowns, no interceptions on play action passes. Stafford's issue has always been staying in the pocket, non-play action, and taking the layups. He don't like to do that. You take away the deep ball, you take away his first, second read, he'll get back there and he'll turn into Brett Favre and try to say, I could sneak that in there. He'll do no-look passes. It did last week, if you've seen the clip, where he starts running around saying, don't look at me and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a douche. Like, let's just be very honest. Matt Stafford is a douchebag. He's from Highland Park, Texas. He's a douchebag. I will say that with all sincerity. Anyway, that's going to upset people. Can't wait for that email. But that's okay. He's a douche. Don't care. But his issue is he has level 100 confidence, and he thinks he can fit it in these amazing highlight reel windows, and a lot of times he can. But that's where the turnover-worthy plays happen. That is where they – now, you have to seize those opportunities. 49ers haven't done that. You finally get an interception, then you get called on a ticky-tack holding call. Fred Warner has 2 hands off of his ball that were tip drills. You have to seize those turnover-worthy opportunities. You got to run to the ball. Fred Warner knocks the ball out. You got 4 linemen loafing. Don't get the ball. Like, you have to go out there. You got to hustle. And, you know, if you're like, dude, what do I watch? Like, what's the matchup? Just watch Fred Warner. We are getting into rarefied territory where Fred Warner is putting up all pro games week in, week out, consistently every damn week. Every week. So just watch 5-4. The broadcast view sucks. Now, Thursday night, which I do like, Amazon Prime Vision is the best way to watch football ever. So if you're watching Prime, which you have to watch this game, right? Go down to more broadcasts and switch it over to Prime Vision. Every Thursday for the rest of your life, trust me, you'll be so happy. Because you're going to see the coverage. You're going to see all 22 players. Opens up the way this, you just see it better. So don't watch the broadcast view. Go to the Prime Vision. Trust me. And just watch 5-4. Just watch 5-4. Weaknesses. 49ers can't pass rush. Now, getting the Rams tight ends to block. Now, Tyler Higbee hasn't practiced this week. Has not practiced this week. I'm sure he'll play because they're the healthiest team in the NFL. But the Rams tight ends blocking, not good. So, like, if you can dominate, Mikael Williams is going to blow Tyler Higbee up. Period. Just whatever. I freaking love it. So, Mikael Williams needs to have a game. It just does. Now, my favorite matchups, let's go through both sides here. When the 49ers are on offense, Christian McCaffrey versus the linebackers. Again, number 48, number 53, pay attention to that. Their best matchup, Kobe Turner, Puna Ford versus our interior offensive line. All 3 of them. I kind of trust Connor Colby the most, which is crazy. 7th round rookie. He is outplaying Dominique Pooney. He is outplaying Jake Brendel. He's just not consistently doing all, and he struggles versus stunts. He closes his shoulders and his hips too often. Got to stay parallel line of scrimmage. Be ready for the redirect. But that was in the scouting report. You got to get better at that. Blue chip matchup, best on best, Jared Verse versus Trent Williams. Holy cow. And you're kind of getting Jared Verse on his way up, Trent Williams a little bit on his way down, but still, man, that's huge. That is huge. Now flip it when the 49ers are on defense. The 49ers' best matchup, Bryce Huff versus Rob Havenstein. Has not been healthy. He's out there toughing it out, has not played well. Again, not practicing this week, but I still expect him to fully play just because it's the Niners. Their best matchup is Stafford versus our safeties. Our safeties have not been great. Now, the coverage of Marquise Siegel has continued to improve. Really has. Amazing run tackler, doing his job, but he's giving tight windows. Just teams aren't scared to target number 36 out there. He finally gets a pass breakup, and it bounces off Fred Warner's hands. You got to make teams pay for it. Hasn't done that yet. Gave Fred the chance, didn't come through with it. Can he continue to do that? Yeah, Rob Havenstein's doubtful. Their backup, let me see here. I want to give the correct information here. DJ Humphreys, they paid him and we refused to. We had him in building, agreed, but we wanted to offer him pennies. DJ Humphreys, they offered him more money, and so he chose there. So DJ Humphreys would be the right tackle to step in there, which I don't like. He's pretty good. He might be better. He's got more experience. No, Havenstein's played forever, but he's got a lot of experience. So don't care. Bryce Huff, I take him against DJ Humphreys as well. Stafford versus their safeties is their best, and the blue chip matchup is Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams versus Demo and Upton Stout. Renardo Green, I expect to be back. He has not been good. Darrell Luter did not cost you much last week. Did not cost you much last week. Renardo Green has cost you three games. I'm not saying I want Darrell Luter out there playing. I want Renardo Green, who's full participant today. But somebody's got to have a game. Or you could say Kyren Williams versus Fred Warner. A lot of blue chips out there. A lot of blue chips out there. Now, usually I do bets of the week. Not including that right now, as we just got all that injury news. We'll have to wait for all the new props to go out. I'll be posting those on the 49ersrush.com. A 7-day free trial. Check it out. Or our Patreon channel. Links in the description of the video. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not betting the 49ers spread. I'm probably going to be betting 49ers over 1.5 field goals. I'm going to be betting DeMarcus Robinson over on the passing yards and receptions. And I'll be betting Tonjes over on receptions. Those I can tell you right now. We'll have to see where those numbers lie. But I'll have those finalized tomorrow. But I'm going to give the books just a little bit of time. Unless I see something really glaring, then I'll put it on there and I'll post those on the site real quick. But we're going to be quick on this one. So just be malleable, I think is the right word. Predictions. Damn, how do you predict this whenever you got a backup freaking scout team skill position group in there? Top six wide receivers out, top tight end out, top quarterback out behind this offensive line that just refuses to run block. Ugh. Rough. Offense, really hope we throw early and run on third downs. One of my favorite, like Shanahan has given opportunities to this offense. Running hook and ladders, three touchdowns for screens the past 2 weeks. Like, they're there running on third and seven. He's got back-to-back weeks with a third and seven run for a first down. I want to see more than that. I want to see several runs on third down. They run very similar NASCAR package to what the 49ers do, where they put out all these pass rushers that have major issues in the run game. Braden Fisk is awesome. Not a complete player. He cannot play the run. He can rush the passer like a maniac. Got to throw changeup. This is a changeup type game. Keep them on their toes. CMC's going to get 20-plus touches no matter what. Might be 26-plus touches. I hope Brian Robinson gets 7 or more touches. Got to use him. The physical running game will work against his defense. Tonjes, he's getting 4-plus targets. Whoever the wide receivers are, DeMarcus Robinson, Kendrick Bourne. Can Kendrick Bourne catch cold? We'll see. That dude, I'm still pissed off every time I say his damn name. At least run block. At least run block. This might be the last time Kendrick Bourne ever wears the 49ers uniform. If Kendrick Bourne does the same thing he did last week, that dude's getting cut before the Tampa Bay game. That's how bad it was. Go out there and redeem yourself, man. DeMarcus Robinson playing his old team? Yeah. Yeah. He only got 20 snaps last week. Should have had a lot more. Now you got no choice. DeMarcus Robinson should be your damn starter. He should be your number one. Ooh, DeMarcus Robinson. I'm excited about him. Defense, scary with Matt Stafford knowing he's going to have a clean pocket for the majority of the game. But he's going to give the defense chances at turnovers. You got to seize those. Got to capitalize. Niners haven't done that yet this season. Upton Stout versus Puka and Devontae. Dude, hope you're ready, Rook. Yeah, Travis Hunter and freaking shut him down whenever it was, you know, he was matched up with Travis Hunter last week. Got that pick against him. Stupid call. But like, all right, this is as tough a matchup as you will have. Literally, one play is going to have Puka. Next play is going to have Davante Adams all game. Let's go, Upton. Let's go. Those drag routes, those shallow crossers, which, you know, the Rams and McVay run that better than anybody because our nickel corner has to have outside leverage. So he's already at a disadvantage in just those shallow crossers. You got to chase that over in man, unless you stay in zone all the time, which means you're not blitzing. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But yeah, look for a lot of crossers, drags, tiebreakers. If Kyren Williams beats you, this game's going to get ugly. You cannot allow them to establish the run. You got to shut that down. If you don't, Niners are going to lose by double digits early. You stop the run, force them to throw the Stafford to throw 40 plus times. You got a chance. You got to seize those opportunities on the turnovers. You got to protect the ball on your side. Come on, man. Yeah, Niners don't really bracket. You're saying the Rams. Yeah, I don't think they could. But if they do that, then you're going to be able to run outside the C gap to the DeMarcus Robinson side. Because if they're bracketing that inside corner that has the inside release or inside inbreakers, a lot of times open his hips to the boundary, to the sideline, and you can run off that because you lose a force player. That's the negative whenever you do the bracket. Niners don't do that. My team, whenever I coached, we used to do that. And it was always hard because you'll open up your hips and wait to kind of wall off the wide receiver breaking in, but then you miss what's happening behind you. So I don't know if the Rams do that a lot. Shula is a little bit more multiple and advanced in what he calls more complex. They run every single type of coverage besides man. They don't do a lot of man. They don't do a lot of man. Anyway, any given Thursday, baby. I do not have the 49ers winning this game. Can they win it? Yes. Is this the biggest test of the year? Also, yes. Can the 49ers win? Yes. Mac Jones, go make your damn money, dude. DeMarcus Robinson, go make your money. Kendrick Bourne, But with this defense, with Robert Saleh, with Fred Warner, you can be in this game. Maybe something positive happens on special teams. I have the Rams winning 24-16. Unless they run the ball. If they run the ball, I think it could be 31-10 type game. But we'll see. Any given Thursday, baby. Any given Thursday. I love football. And these moments suck. Go out there and surprise the world. Everybody's going to be watching. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Till next time. We'll be live right after the game. You guys are the best. Oh, come on, man. Go get this win. Go get this damn win. Let's go, Niners. Till next time. Stay strong, faithful.